We're checking in on native mussels here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's the first statewide survey of mussels in 40 years, and the survey says that our water cleaning clams face good news and bad news. It's a mixed bag of sorts for mussels. So big picture here, freshwater mussels are one of the most imperiled groups of animals on our planet, with nearly three-quarters of species in decline. What questions do you have about mussels that are native to Wisconsin? Have you been involved with a citizen science project related to mussels? We're at 800-642-1234. Jesse Weinzinger and Lisi Kitchell are conservation biologists with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and they coordinate the Wisconsin Mussel Monitoring Program at the DNR. Jesse, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
And Lisi, welcome to you.
And good morning to you.
Well, Jesse, let's start with you. This being the first statewide survey of native mussels in decades, why have we gone so long without a real comprehensive look at how they're doing in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so a few reasons. Mussels, I mean, they're essentially glorified rocks at the bottom of a river. They don't get much attention. They're easily overlooked by volunteers, by scientists. And like you mentioned, we haven't had a statewide survey since about the 1970s when a DNR employee and his crew, Harold Mathiak, went to 460 different sites throughout the state. So as part of our Wisconsin Wildlife Action Plan, we wanted to revisit some of these sites and kind of get an update on the status of freshwater mussels throughout the state.
Well, Lisi, these glorified rocks on the bottom of lake beds, as Jesse described them, you know, they get overlooked doing their thing underwater. Can you explain for us what a mussel is?
Okay, so people use the term mussels and clams interchangeably, and you can. Technically, there's differences, but our native mussels are those bivalves that are in the bottom of the system. They have very important role in terms of purifying the water. And then we have native clams, which are much smaller. And then, of course, we have the invasive zebra mussels. So there are all kinds out there. But our native clams have been around for a long time, and they've been used historically for a long time, too.
Okay, so, Lisi, they all have in common a hinged shell. Is that right?
Right. They all have two shells. And then they have a foot. They crawl around just like a snail crawls around. And then they filter the water, which is what's, you know, their significant role in the whole system. They're basically our ecological engineers in the bottom of the rivers and lakes.
Oh, I love that. So we really need them, Jesse, to keep our waterways clean?
Absolutely. As Lisi mentioned, they are ecological engineers. An individual mussel can filter up to 20 gallons of water in a single day, depending on the species. So if you have a dense mussel bed of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of mussels, I mean, that's a free ecosystem service for everybody.
Jesse, you've pointed out that freshwater mussels are one of the most imperiled groups of animals on the planet. What makes them so vulnerable?
Yeah, absolutely. So they are among the most sensitive animals to several pollutants in our streams and lakes throughout the state. Heavy metals from heavy industry, in the last 100 years have impacted them. Mercury, chlorides, nitrates, and ammonia. Freshwater mussels, you know, they're taking in those pollutants because they can't move very far. So they're constantly siphoning in water, and there's no escape. If those pollutants are in the water column, they're either going to be impacted, they won't be able to reproduce, or they might just die right off.
We're getting briefed on our state's mussel population with Jesse Weinzinger and Lisi Kitchell. They're conservation biologists with the Wisconsin DNR. They coordinate the state mussel monitoring program. Have you found mussels when you're out on the water? Perhaps they've been stuck to the bottom of your boat. What do you think can be done to protect endangered native mussel species? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Lisi, let's look specifically at native mussels. How many species do we have here in Wisconsin?
We have 50 species in Wisconsin, 24 of which are listed as threatened, endangered, or special concern. So there are a number of them that are at-risk species, and it's a function of just, you know, water quality or poor water quality in the past.
So have we lost some species over time?
We actually haven't we have a few species that have are extirpated from Wisconsin. In other words, they're no longer in Wisconsin, but they still occur in other states or in other parts of the country. And we have at least four of those species that have become extirpated from Wisconsin. But we still have 50 species, which is an amazing diversity of our native mussels.
Is it compared to other places?
Yeah, for the upper Midwest, we are comparable to the other states in the upper Midwest. There's over 300 species for North America. But if you go to the East Coast or the West Coast, they have far fewer diversity. They have maybe 20 species all total. But the Midwest has the greatest diversity. That whole upper Mississippi River system has an amazing diversity of our native mussels.
Well, Jesse, let's get into the results of the survey here. What were some of the biggest success stories you found?
Yeah, so it's a mixed bag across the state. So some river systems, you're seeing a rebound since clean water regulations in the 1970s. For example, midsections of the Wisconsin River, we're seeing a rebound in the health of freshwater mussels because some of the paper mill industries and other contaminants have been reduced. So we're seeing good recruitment in the Wisconsin River in central Wisconsin. Lower Green Bay, we're seeing small but stable populations where zebra mussels haven't been impacting our native mussels. And there's some stretches of the Milwaukee River where we're seeing the presence of a couple rare and threatened species in the state.
Let's bring in Marcus now with a question. Marcus in Milwaukee, good morning.
Good morning. So my question is, how much of an effect are zebra mussels actually having on outcompeting native mussel species? And what, as a boater or fisherman, can we do to help reduce the impact that zebra mussels may have, or how to reduce the transfer of zebra mussels?
Lisi, can you field that?
You betcha. The zebra mussels can have a huge impact on our native mussels because what they do is they attach to the shell of our native mussels, and our native mussels don't attach to things like the zebra mussels do. So they basically attach to the shell, and then they slowly over time coat the shell with zebra mussels. And so it gets to the point where the mussels can't open, they can't feed, they can't breathe, they can't reproduce. And when I'm diving in the Mississippi River, if I get a ball of zebra mussels and I break it open, I know there'll be a native mussel or a snail in there. So they basically just encapsulate them, and then they just coat the whole bottoms of the rivers and the lakes, and that makes it so that our native mussels just can't survive. So they are significant. And the best way to do it, the best way to prevent the spread of zebra mussels is just make sure you're not taking water, you're not taking vegetation, you're cleaning your boat, so you're not transporting those zebra mussels around.
Well, they
can do a lot of harm to the system.
Pause right there with Lisi Kitchell and Jesse Weisinger. They're conservation biologists with the Wisconsin DNR. They coordinate the state mussel monitoring program. What questions do you have about mussels? Have you been part of a citizen science project that dealt with mussel populations? Join in with your questions about zebra mussels and other native and invasive species. 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're learning about the health of the freshwater mussel population in Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. About half of the 50 native mussel species in our state are listed as endangered, threatened, or as a species of concern. And now we have this new statewide survey of native mussels. It is the first one in decades. What do you want to know about mussels? What have you noticed about the clarity of lake water or invasive mussel species? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. The DNR's conservation biologists Lisi Kitchell and Jesse Weinzinger stay with us. They coordinate the Wisconsin Mussel Monitoring Program. Jesse, looking at this statewide survey, what are some of the biggest concerns from the data that you gathered?
Yeah, so there were several areas throughout the state where there were yellow or red flags raised. So because mussels don't move very much throughout the water column or throughout the substrate, if those pollutants are present, they won't be able to reproduce. And you can actually age an individual mussel through its growth rings, kind of like a tree. So we would age them as we collected them, and we're seeing lack of recruitment in some watersheds, such as the Pecatonica and the Rock River in southern Wisconsin. The lack of young individuals of several species in those systems raises a lot of concerns for the future health of freshwater mussels.
Lisi, going back to Marcus's question on zebra mussels, when did zebra mussels become a problem? How did they get to Wisconsin in the first place?
They came in during the 80s. They came into the Great Lakes from the big boats that go overseas from Eastern Europe. That's where they originated from. And they would come in the ballast of those boats, and then when they would change over that ballast water in the Great Lakes, that's how they got spread to our Great Lakes. From our Great Lakes, they got spread by recreational craft into our inland waters. So, and that's unfortunately the mechanism of how they're still getting spread. So we really encourage people to try to make sure that they don't spread them any further than they are. They got into the Mississippi River and some of our main rivers, again, through the barges that would go from the Illinois River then into the upper Mississippi River. And again, it's from the bilge and the ballast in those large boats.
In those water tanks, yeah. Let's go to Jerry now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
My question is this. I grew up on the East Coast in the ocean, but I used to see mussels attached to piers, you know, small piers in the bay. But what species of mussels do we eat that we see in the restaurants or grocery stores?
Jerry, yeah thank you. Well, Lisi, do you want to field that?
Sure. So the mussels that we eat are the marine mussels. We don't eat our native freshwater mussels. They certainly can be eaten, but I don't recommend they be eaten because of contaminants. But the marine mussels, they monitor them closely. They check them for healthy, you know, to make sure that they don't contain high levels of contaminants. And the mussels that you saw on the pier, those are, you know, blue ocean mussels, and those are the ones that are eaten and are harvested, and as well as the ocean clams. So those are the guys that you do eat. But our native ones, we're eaten in great numbers by Native Americans, but I don't recommend we eat them nowadays.
Jesse, zebra mussels get a lot of the attention on the invasive mussel front. Are there other invasives that we should be concerned about?
Oh, absolutely. So as we mentioned, there is the zebra mussel that can not only impact our native mussels, but industry, dams, indirectly fish. There's another mussel called the quagga mussel that's in the same family as zebra mussel, but the quagga mussel is actually displacing the zebra mussel throughout the Great Lakes. So if we start bringing them into our inland lakes and rivers, that can have potentially even a larger effect on the ecosystem. Separate from that, we have the Asian clam, which is another invasive brought over from Eurasia, and that can have detrimental effects on our fingernail clam population, but also other invertebrates. So those are kind of our invasive mussels. Otherwise, we have several other invasive species like Phragmites from plants to Eurasian water milfoil, other aquatic plants that can have huge effects not only on mussels but other aquatic resources.
Can't these clams also really cut up your feet, these invasives? They're kind of sharp shells.
Yeah, the zebra mussels in particular leave their shells behind. They don't, they're shorter lived. Our our native mussels are very long lived, but the zebra mussels are short lived. So after a few years, they die, and then they leave these small shells that are very sharp. And indeed, they can cut your feet on beaches. They can cut, like if you're out walking your dog at the beach, that they make the, they take a sandy beach or even a rocky beach, and they make it into just full of shards of sharp shells.
We're talking with Lisi Kitchell and Jesse Weinzinger. They're conservation biologists with the Wisconsin DNR. They coordinate the state's mussel monitoring program. You have a line with your questions, your observations, 800-642-1234. What do you think can be done to protect endangered native mussel species? Are you concerned about invasive species in your lake? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Lisi, I would imagine that just like too few mussels, too many mussels is also a problem. How do you control mussel populations if you need to?
Well, our native mussels are kind of in balance with our natural systems because they have a limiting factor. They need a fish host to complete their life cycle, so that kind of gives them a limiting factor. The zebra mussels are an example of one that becomes overabundant, zebra mussels and quagga mussels both. They just become super abundant, and they cover everything that they come in contact with. So how you control them is, we have not found the silver bullet for controlling those guys yet. So once they're established, they're really hard to get rid of. But our native mussels seem to be in balance with the natural systems, and they don't seem to get overly abundant.
So, Jesse, how do you want to use the new survey results to kind of shape your efforts in conservation and what you do with mussels going forward?
Absolutely. So the 99 sites that we visited across the state can serve as a baseline for future monitoring and conservation needs. So we followed standardized protocols during our surveys. So they're written up in our reporting forms. So, you know, whether it be 5 years from now, whether it be 10 years from now, we can revisit these sites doing the same protocol and compare what we found. If we're seeing a large decline, 5 years after our last survey, that may allow us to address more of our resources to identifying the cause of the problem, implementing conservation actions, such as nutrient management, if it's an agricultural area, or in-stream restoration efforts, stream bank stabilization. There are a lot of efforts we can take, but this last survey can serve as a baseline for future monitoring needs.
Well, Lisi, what can the average person do to help mussels here in Wisconsin?
There's a lot they can do in terms of just trying to improve water quality and ensure that habitat is protected. Jesse mentioned stream bank stabilization. One of the things is erosion, all the sediment that comes into the water. The other thing is runoff from urban runoff, from the various contaminants from urban runoff, and as well as some of the runoff from agricultural runoff. So what we can do to put buffers along streams to intercept all that runoff is one thing we can do. I think we've done it since the Clean Water Act. We've done a lot to improve those point sources coming in at the pipes. So that, I think, is a good thing. But the citizens can still ensure that we try to maintain and improve our water quality is probably the best way to do it.
And I understand you're looking for some citizen scientist volunteers to help with the eastern pond mussel, Lisi?
Sure. Well, that's one of them. A few years ago, a person who was a citizen scientist had contacted me and said, I have a mussel here and I can't figure out what it is. And I looked at it and said, well, that's a whole new species for the state of Wisconsin. So we went up to the Oneida Lakes. It was a three lakes chain that we went to, and found that it was in a number of those lakes. So now we're trying to figure out just how far this mussel spread. It's not an invasive species. It's just a new species for new species for Wisconsin, but it is one of the native species rather than the invasive zebra or quagga mussels. So we're trying to figure out just where it goes, what lakes it's in, and how far it has spread since it's been introduced to Wisconsin.
Well, Lisa, go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to add on to that. So in addition to what Lisa said, this coming month, August 18th, we're actually hosting a mussel blitz on the Eagle River chain. So Lisa mentioned we found them throughout the Three Lakes chain, and just downstream, it's connected to the Eagle River chain, which is a complex of about 13 lakes. So we're going to have a volunteer outing on August 18th, and we're going to utilize citizen scientists and other biologists to go out and see how widespread this mussel has become.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Lisa Kitchell and Jesse Weisinger are conservation biologists with the Wisconsin DNR. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. News is next here on the Ideas Network.